Time now for Stugatz's Weekend Observations times two. Some of these might be dated, but Stugatz likes to reheat stuff.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend Observations, brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase, only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, I gotta be honest. At this juncture, I don't know what's back and what's not.
Wow.
Back.
Wow.
Jason Kipnis is a Cub? Ryan Fitzpatrick said over the weekend, this past weekend, he knows he's just a placeholder for Tua. Has anyone held more places in NFL history than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Wait a minute. How are these observations working? Are you swinging wildly back and forth between last weekend and this weekend?
Exactly.
All right.
That should be the name of his position. Placeholder. 8 Patriots have now opted out for the season. Had no idea they were taking the Brady news so badly. We have a new leader for the least shocking headline of the year. Mike Ditka says kneeling athletes should get the hell out of the country.
Yeah. Chris, can you tell Stugatz whatever it is that you just mouthed there? Did you want him to speed it up?
Why is he reading so slow?
That's a good point. If no one but the Jets wanted to play football this fall in the AFC East, they would still figure out a way to lose the division. I hate them. Meanwhile, if the only Chief to show up every Sunday was Patrick Mahomes, they'd still go 13-3. I read the headline that the Mets couldn't find Yoenis Cespedes in Atlanta. Had no reaction and just kept moving along with my day.
They couldn't find him, and you're so broken, so broken as a Mets fan that you're like, yeah, whatever.
Dr. Fauci, don't quit your day job. Let me tell you something. Doc Gooden, you are not. He was Dr. K.
Wow, that's a weekend observation from two Fridays ago. That's Dr. Fauci's first pitch. Okay, I was hoping that we'd know when. Okay, never mind.
That was two weekends ago.
Yeah, thank you.
He was Dr. K.
Yeah.
You are Dr. F. And by the way, enough horsing around to get back to fixing this pandemic. Jose Altuve is batting 158 so far this season. Hashtag karma. Alex Bregman batting 211 so far this season. Hashtag ball don't lie. Lou Williams, one of the best six men to ever play the game. Jack Harlow, one of the worst wingmen to ever play the game.
Wow, that's an old, musty observation.
Here's another one. Lou Williams, trying to make it sound like he went to the strip club strictly for the food. Lou, the Stugatz is strong in you. Lou Gatz. Here's a joke I told 30 minutes ago. Dwayne Johnson purchased the XFL for $15 million, Dan. One might say he got it at a rock bottom price.
Better that time. The joke better than the way you delivered it 30 minutes ago.
Hurricane. How do you pronounce this hurricane? It was confusing all weekend. ECIS? I mean, what is it?
Just keep it moving.
Bust. Should have been called Hurricane Kwame Brown.
What happened there?
Quick Stan Van Gundy Twitter update.
Jesus.
This is the last couple of weeks. I'm sorry.
He is just on a rampage.
Since joining in July, he has tweeted 22,000 times. No. 21,990 of those tweets have not been about sports.
No, that can't be true. That number cannot be right.
Perhaps I play with the numbers a bit. The PGA Championship is this weekend. Brooks Koepka has won the event two consecutive years. If somebody else wins, they should not only have to win the tournament, but rip the trophy out of Koepka's hands. Two first-round picks for a safety going back two weekends ago? When did the Jets become smart? Dan, it's official. This applies to last weekend, this weekend, and every weekend moving forward. I am embarrassed to live in Florida.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing.
I know. Of course, a minor league organization is the one that jeopardizes the Major League Baseball season. How about everyone do me a favor? TV networks, sport leagues, Steph Curry, leave Dr. Fauci alone and let him work. Dr. F. But before you do that, check out last Thursday's episode of ESPN Daily with Pablo Torre to hear his exclusive interview with Dr. F. Great get. I'm not sure if Adam Silver is this great at his job or if anyone would look this smart if they were the NBA commissioner at the same time that Rob Manfred was the Major League Baseball commissioner. The NBA announced that they are starting a community COVID-19 testing program in Orlando. Or in other words, exactly what I said they should do 2 weeks ago.
Hey, Stugatz was right.
That's right.
Holy Stugatz was right.
Speaking of things I said that were right, TJ Warren. What Dan doesn't realize is TJ Warren on any given night can light you up for 45 points. Oh, I love it. Justin Smoke is a brewer? The Smoke Monster. The Brew Crew. Oliver Perez is still pitching. Clayton Kershaw. This is this past weekend.
Yes.
Do it in the postseason. 1 minute the season is over, the next minute he's a fighter, and they will finish the season. Dan, you know what Rob Manfred is doing? He's not only making it up as he goes along, but he's also flying by the seat of his pants. Quick question. I'm serious.
It's such a great phrase. Can you imagine flying by the seat of your pants? Like if you were Peter Pan on a wire, it's just a wire. It would be crazy, right? If you were flying by the seat of your pants, you would have no control over that. Yeah.
Exhilarating. To own a Peloton or Nordic Track bike, is it required you own a sick corner apartment in the city that has big, beautiful windows? Tom Coughlin fractured his ribs and punctured a lung in a bike accident. He's doing well, recovering in the hospital after doctors rubbed some dirt on both. Aaron Rodgers foresees a split from the Packers. That escalated quickly.
It really did.
God bless Mike Sando for ignoring everything and releasing his quarterback tears. The Dodgers starting pitchers are already being placed. Three of them already have been placed on the injured reserve list. Dan, you know what that means, of course.
No, I don't. They're mashing it.
It means Dodger pitchers are dropping like flies.
Oh, okay.
10,000 plus COVID cases per day, and DeSantis wants to open bars. Do me a favor. I've got a great spot for you. A little hole in the wall I like to call hell. Pull up a chair next to Art Briles. When you get there, say hello for me. Dan, Those are the weekend observations.
All right, we've got a couple of bits of straight talk for you. First of all, Billy has an idea for somewhere that we have to place Stugatz. We'll get to that in a second because I do want to figure out how to get Stugatz into the place that Billy wants to get him. But Billy, can you give me just some help here on, please tell me that you saw the lack of Hispanic representation as Rachel Nichols and Mark Jones talked about it wasn't Andre Iguodala, actually. It was the phrase equality in Spanish that one of the players wore on the back of his uniform. And Rachel Nichols pronounced it correctly when she said igualidad. And Mark Jones said, I like how you rolled your R's, even though there are no R's.
Whoa.
It was outrageous, wow. Dan.
Thank you.
I am outraged. Wait, they're coworkers? Nah, that's cool. All right.
Very good. Where do you want to get Stugatz? How do we do this? How do we get your plan off the ground as a show that never gets anything off the ground?
Dan, I don't know if you've seen what's going on with the NBA, but they have these digital fans, and I feel like we need to get Stugatz in that digital crowd somehow. Now, I don't think it's as difficult as we think it might be to get Stugatz digitally or virtually into this arena. But Lorenzo's on the case, which means it may never happen. So we're already kind of efforting to make this happen. But Stugatz, if you're willing, we want to make sure to get you into the digital crowd. I saw Chris Bosch appeared in the middle of one of the games in the digital crowd. We have to just kind of get you and sneak you in. I don't know what we can do in terms of maybe put things on your shirt so you stand out even more. But is this something you're willing to do?
So you're saying digital crowd. I am driving myself up to Orlando. I'm going to be inside the bubble. So you just want me and you want me to be a part of that crowd and that's it.
No.
What are you not understanding? What are you?
Okay.
No. Wait a minute.
Well, I was just clarifying. I didn't know if he physically wanted me there, if I had to physically go there to do this.
Stugatz.
I get the digital portion of it. There might be a physical representation.
Stop with your trying to cover up. Not understanding what virtual fans are, and they're not going to let you into the bubble, Stugatz. Billy wasn't asking you whether you'd be willing to sit in the stands of an NBA game. Which part of digital and virtual fans are you not understanding? In a segment that Billy started with, Dan, I don't know if you're aware, but they're using digital fans, and you're clearly not aware of what digital fans are.
It's a totally fair point. Really, I am down with doing this. I want to do it, but I have been lobbying to physically actually be in the bubble because I think I can have some fun there. But Billy, to answer your question, yes, I am more than happy. I would love to be. What about me suggests that I wouldn't want to be in that digital crowd?
Wait, hold on. Do you know what you're agreeing to? Because I'm still not sure that we're all on the same page.
Does it have me on TV in any form or fashion?
Yes, but will you please tell us if you understand what you're being asked to do before you agree to it, please?
Not exactly, but I'm still willing to do it.
All right, Billy, how do we get this off the ground? Because I saw, and this seems fairly useless, okay? I saw that they put behind one of the baskets, people waving maniacally to distract a free throw shooter. It didn't seem to work at all. It doesn't seem to work in real life. It doesn't work virtually. It's ridiculous. But is that where you want to put Stugatz? Do you have a preferred place to put him? And you're right. The truest thing you've ever said is that Lorenzo will figure out a way for this to never appear anywhere, but he will, he will run around in circles for a long time, making it not happen.
Well, he'll put in tons of hours, too. It's not through lack of effort. It's just, I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. But
it's Lorenzo. It's Lorenzo is what it is.
I think what we do is first we just try to get you in the building, right? Get you anywhere in the crowd, and then we'll work our way up to, like, primetime seats. Because once they see the work that you do as a good fan, I think that they'll be all in on it.
Oh, promotion.
But you think he can
work his way up into better positioning by just...
He's going to be courtside for the finals in one of those digital seats if Stugatz gets his way. Actually, you know what? They're probably then going to bring in like celebrities to do this digital thing, and they're going to piggyback off of our idea of getting someone, like sneaking someone in. And somehow, like, Kanye is going to be in the front row. And that James Goldstein, too. He's going to find a way into that digital crowd no matter what. I don't know how he's going to do it. Marlins man will find his way in there. He's been trying to bribe every single Major League Baseball team to put him in the front row of games, only to accept that he'll get in there. But, Stu, guys, I think we start small, and then we work our way up.
Okay, I am down with this. I prefer some of the day games, perhaps the early games, but that's fine. You can control whatever it is I do for the late night games.
Who is running point on this, Billy? It's got to be you. It cannot be Lorenzo. Who is running point? Are you vowing to get Stugatz on the digital display?
I'm vowing to try.
Okay. That's not good enough. It's just consistently not good enough.
I'm still confused.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Are you bummed that Men's Warehouse just declared bankruptcy? There are things happening, Stugatz, in this country that simply were not foreseeable as recently as like 6 or 7 months ago. The idea that Men's Warehouse would look up one day and say, wait a minute, no one has any needs to buy suits because no one's wearing suits to work like this. There are so many companies that cannot imagine what has happened and had no preparation because how could you for the last 8 months? But of course, suits aren't selling right now. Like, why would anybody other than someone who's got to be on First Take have to go get a suit? Because First Take is like the only place where they're requiring suits.
Right. It's obviously no one could foresee this coming. And on the flip side of that, the free weight industry had no idea. Like, the boom they were about to experience and still are experiencing is absolutely crazy. Same with hand sanitizer and stuff like that. So it's worked both ways, but you have to feel terrible for some place like Men's Warehouse, who had a very good business going, and then it's gone just like that.
You want to know a business that's booming right now, Stugatz? The making of Major League Baseball. I was listening to a broadcast the other day, and I thought I didn't hear them correctly because they were saying that team was going through 150 dozen baseballs a day. 150 dozen because no baseball can be touched more than three times. It's got to go out of play now because of all of the protocols that are in place. So imagine how many baseballs they're going through. And then, Stugatz, something I heard last night in the middle of a Red Sox-Yankee game that was about 27 months long and made me wish for baseball to go back away, even as Aaron Judge and Stanton are hitting, you know, monster home runs. I couldn't believe the number that was thrown at me. On average, if you watch a Major League Baseball game today, you will see 18 strikeouts.
What?
On average. On average.
Wow. I mean,
right?
You would think the games would be quicker. I mean,
this is such a brutal blow for baseball, the idea that you can go innings at a time without anyone making contact. It's such a weird evolution in that sport that has made it less watchable, Stugatz. Even with home runs, the idea that it's just this all or nothing stuff where you're watching a game and so many guys are coming into the game throwing 98 with, you know, filthy movement that even major league hitters aren't good enough to make contact regularly. Because that stunned me because they were talking about it on the telecast and they're like saying, Yankees, Red Sox, so far we've had 16 strikeouts in this game. We're probably going to meet the daily average of a baseball game. I really was floored. I thought I heard it wrong. I haven't even double checked it. Did I hear it wrong? Because I find it hard to believe that we're up to, and I know it's not 18 per team, but that you watch a Major League Baseball game and on average the number of strikeouts you're going to see is going to be as high as 18, just as an average. It's crazy.
I'm checking on it. I don't. It sounds on the surface to me, it sounded like that's way too many. But in today's Major League Baseball, I mean, who knows? I'm checking on that number for you. But
well, let me head somewhere else conversationally here because I do think we've neglected a bit of sports news that happened over the weekend that I found a bit jarring and hugely interesting. We've been saying for a while around here that the only way that the systemic injustice of the NCAA sort of trafficking on athlete bodies in basketball and football that the only way that changes is if the players sit out games. Mm-hmm. If the players sit out important money-making games, and there's never been a situation, Stugatz, that I can recall in my lifetime where college players actually had a leverage that they could use. They've largely been helpless. You have seen recently with controversies in Iowa and Clemson and Florida State where the players are finally feeling, no, now is a time I can speak about how helpless and powerless I have felt, and I'm going to tell you some stories about how the coaches have treated us like cattle and dehumanized us. They have the power to do that. But this next step that the Pac-12 just took by writing in the Players' Tribune a story, hashtag We Are United, I have never seen a school of players threaten the power in this way, where they are formalizing in written form, we demand this or we will not play. And part of it is a little hard, okay? This has always been a difficult subject in order to find solutions. So you can't do it the way that they have asked for it to be done because you can't eliminate women's sports. You can't violate Title IX. There are certain ramifications that haven't necessarily been considered, but the idea that players would feel powerful enough to go to the Pac-12 and point out, we will not play unless we get this and this and this, that's real power. Stugatz, and I can't recall another time that the players have actually had it. I don't think it's an empty threat. I think they are in a position that they have leverage because we all understand, wait a minute, it can't be unpaid labor taking risks that students aren't taking as employees of your university, because they're basically employees in a way students aren't, and they're saying, no, we ain't playing unless you change these things, these big substantive things, like cutting, you know, the salary of the Pac-12 commissioners, Stugatz. I don't know if you saw this tweet here from Chris Murphy, but he says, Pac-10 commissioner Larry Scott makes $5.3 million. Mm-hmm. If the only reform was to make his salary $450,000, still a top 1% salary, every football player in the conference could get an annual $5,000 stipend to help their families with rent, health care, food, etc. If the only change made was the salary going to the guy at the top of the commissioner pyramid.
Reduced down to a mere $450,000 from $5.3 million, which is a hefty pay cut, by the way. I will throw in there, but 5.3 is probably... too much. Dan, it's a combination. It took all these events to realize, for college players to realize, hey, I've got a lot of power here, okay? But it also took them seeing guys in the NFL who are dropping out over concerns over this world pandemic, the coronavirus, their own health, their family's health. They're getting paid millions of dollars. And college athletes, football players in particular, are saying, hey, if that guy making $16 million doesn't want to play because he's concerned, why should I go out there and play for free and not get any of the stuff that we want as college athletes? It's crazy.
Chris Cody has fined me in the chat for calling it the Pac-10 instead of the Pac-12. But what do I do with the fact that this is Chris Murphy's fault? He called it the Pac-10 in the tweet. Is the fine mine, Chris Cody, or is it Chris Murphy's? Because I thought...
Judges? That's your fine, Dan.
That's still a fine for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Raindrop, drop top, time to read the script for a hot spot.
Thank you, Roy, for being a voice of support. But I think Chris is right. So you are alone on an island on that one. I do have to fix that myself. So Baron Davis will continue whatever awkwardness it is we have left over echoing from Friday with us in about 11 minutes. I want to ask him. He's got so many things to promote. He hijacked our entire show last week promoting an assortment of things, including a puppet show. Was the puppet show this weekend? Billy is skeptical about the puppet show. I'm not sure it's real either. What, Billy? I'm not positive because I can't. Baron Davis is out there, man.
I think that Barron spent an hour just trolling the show, and he said, you know what, these people will fall for anything. That puppet show, as was described, was a puppet church that he was putting on at a vacant lot at Olympia, and I don't remember where, I think is how he put it, and was sold out and could fit 10,000 people, but the only way to get there was invite only. So I don't know that there was a puppet church this past weekend, but you never know.
All right, well, we'll ask him some follow-up questions, because I found it plausible, A, because I'm gullible, but B, because Baron Davis might be involved in things like Black Santa and a puppet show on, I think he said, it was an Olympia, Olympic? I can see him putting up a puppet church. I can.
And he also promoted his TV show, WTF Baron Davis, and said he thinks it's still on Hulu. It was on Hulu. I loved it. The problem is that I watched the whole thing. It was only like 8 episodes or something, right? And they were quick episodes. I think that it started like an online thing, whatever, right? But now, like in going and talking to Barron's people, I'm just imagining that the cast of the show is the people that Baron Davis has around him. But it was just acting, Dan. It was show business. And instead of talking to the people from the show, I'm talking to someone named Larry.
But this is why I'm telling you, Billy, this is why I believe that Baron Davis needs to become a friend of this show, because he can turn this journalism construct upside down, because he's actually a creative. He likes being an artist. He likes writing. He likes producing things. He's somebody who actually can have fun with what nonsense this all is that we do, where we ask the invasive questions and he can dance around them and just promote things like Black Santa and a puppet show that none of us are totally sure exists or doesn't exist. Can I get a vote? Can I get a vote from the room? Roy, you believe that there was a puppet show and a church, that the idea is a real thing with Baron Davis? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Chris, yes or no? You believe it's a real thing with Baron Davis? Yes or no?
I'm going yes.
Stugatz, what do you believe?
I'm going yes on puppet show. Yeah, I can see that.
Anthony?
Yeah, I'll go yeah.
Wow. So, Billy, you are the only – see, there's always a contrarian. There's always an Orlando Magic player that no one has talked about and who stands up during the anthem, because we all believe that. Why not? I don't want to live in a world, Billy, that I can't believe that Baron Davis during a pandemic is conducting a puppet show church.
Listen to me. Black Santa was real, all right? That website existed. A lot of these projects actually exist. I just find it hard to believe that there's somewhere where there's a puppet church with a congregation of 10,000 people. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe it was a smaller scale thing. Can we just also, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, be blaming anyone here. It's not smart to have 10,000 people watching a puppet church, all right, Baron Davis? That's not safe right now.
All right, I need to get the sound from seconds ago of Billy trying to get a thought out, and it just coming out as a bunch of staccato gibberish. Just, I need to get that sound. It's not but 10 seconds ago. But before we get to that, Stugatz, there's all sorts of things happening. We had a hurricane, allegedly, that was headed towards South Florida and then wasn't. We've got a pandemic where we are in the center of things in South Florida, and now what has happened here in the studio to increase the degree of difficulty, Stugatz, is the air conditioning has blown out, and I simply cannot see Roy. I am like on – there's so much fog in here from the humidity that I feel right now like I am trapped in the George Clooney Perfect Storm movie where I can't see what is in the window. Roy has disappeared. He has vanished. All I see right now is a napkin trying to get the condensation off of the glass that separates us.
How quickly does it come back once he wipes it away?
No, it doesn't. It's not even going away. We do not have a defrost in the studio. Roy, are you there? I cannot see you.
Barely.
Okay, his voice is back there somewhere. As if this isn't awkward enough, Baron Davis is about to come in here and tell us whether or not there was a puppet show church.